Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God with a spirit of expectancy. You know, we gather on Wednesday night so we could hear what thus said the Lord, that we could grow in grace and in his knowledge so that we could become mature, understanding what our role or what role we have to play. And tonight our lesson is going to, you know, reiterate those facts, and it's going to put us in a place where we understand what we should be doing and why. The title of our lesson is God Always Finish What He Starts. Do you believe that tonight? God always finish what he starts. There is nothing that God has said or had the prophets prophesied about that didn't come to fruition. The intended purpose that God has designed for your life will be achieved, because God is going to complete it, because he finished it, because he started it. You know, we say before the foundation of the world, God had a purpose and a design for our lives. And he's seen how it's played out day by day. And the end result is for to get us to our intended purpose. At this time, I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate for tonight's lesson, because the title of the song is God is Able. And I want you to know that God is not only able, but he's willing to do everything that you ever need to live a righteous life. He have your best interests at heart, and he never sets you up to fail. So I'm going to play this song, and we're going to come back and explore the word of God. It's coming. The lesson is coming from the book of Philippians. We're going to be in the first chapter, and we're going to expound on the sixth verse. I pray that each and every one of you read the whole chapter so you could get a deeper meaning of what the word of God is saying. Be prayerful for our Bible study tonight. Pray for one another and listen to the words of this song.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. Tell me who make my faith, and when the doctor says no, who can still say yes? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. God is able, oh, and he won't. that the sun can look at me, and who can tell the wind to whistle through the trees, and when I'm in trouble, who that same God that will come down and rescue me? God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. No, he won't fail. He won't fail. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give in. God won't fail. God is able. Tell you, God is able, and he won't. No. He'll never leave, never forsake. No, he won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
And that song was telling us that God is able and he will never fail. Well, we have more callers that have called in. And the title of our lesson is God Always Finish What He Starts, from the book of Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse. Our background tonight, when we come back from prayer, is going to be on the Holy Spirit. So at this time, we have to go to the throne of grace. And if there's anyone who would like to pray at this time, please press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. And if there's any callers that's on the internet, to be able to come in the studio and make comments or pray, you have to dial the station number, and I will be able to open the mic for you. Anyone who would like to pray, press the one button. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the great I am, the beginning of every beginning and the end of all ends. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and we come to your throne and pray. We pray that you get the glory and the honor for the Bible study that's going to go forth tonight. Heavenly Father, we need you and we can't do without you, dear God. Lord, you say that you would always be before us. And you're right in the middle of everything that we do. And God, you also promise to take care of us through eternity. And for that, we say thank you. Lord, you are our strength, our high tower. Lord, nothing can happen unless you orchestrate it or allow it. And because of that, we can always say it is well. Lord, we need you. We can't do without you. And because of you, we are who we are. But Lord, I'm just asking that you allow your Holy Spirit to take over this lesson tonight. I ask you that the Holy Spirit don't let the words return void, that the Holy Spirit touch the hearts and the minds of the people who are listening. Open it up. Open up their hearts so they can receive, hear, and understand what the Word of God is asking us to do. Lord, we come week after week to explore your Word. Lord, help us to apply it in our lives and be doers and not just hearers of what is being said over and over and over again. Lord, we know that it's time for us to grow and become matured in your things, in the things of God. But, Lord, we can't make it without you because it's you who's working in us. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for being God all by yourself, in total control, and don't have to go to counsel with nobody for what you want to do for us individually and collectively. Lord, I thank you. I give you praise. I give you honor. I give you glory because you're worthy. Lord, you're a lover of our souls. You're our Redeemer, our Master. And Lord, I'm just saying thank you. Because if it had not been for you on our side, I don't know where would we be. Lord, we live in a world that's full of evil. Man is doing everything that seems right in his own eyes. There's many occasions where people in power try to make wrong be right and right be wrong. But Lord, we know you know. And Lord, we know you have it in control. We're living in trying times. But as long as we hold on to the confession of our faith, dear God, we know that you will see us through. And for that, we say thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and thank God. Our program tonight is God always finish what he starts. And we ought to know that this is true because God, from the beginning, way back in Genesis, was making prophecies, and he sent 17 prophets, and he gave all kind of prophecy that would be fulfilled. You know, he promised Abraham, you know, what he would do for his children. And even in all of their disobedience, God still allowed it to take place. Because if he started it and if he said it, he's going to finish it. You know, we could see that all through the Bible. Solomon, the wisest man to have ever lived, full of wisdom, and still did foolish things. And God cannot turn his face away from sin. And there are consequences for our sins. And what he decided to do because of Solomon's sin, he said, but because of the love I have for your father, David, I'm not going to let it happen until you die. And because of his disobedience, the 12 tribes was broken up. It became 10 in the southern and other northern and 2 in the other. But we have to be careful what we do. And we have to remember that there are consequences for our sin. Sometimes it amazes me when I read through the Bible and I see the weakness of mankind from the beginning. And it's not changed. But we have to decide what part we want to play in it. And no, we're not going to be perfect. But we have to do the best that we can. If we get knocked down, get up and start over again. And even when you're weak, realize that he is strong. Realize when things and situations come your way that you have no power to control and you feel powerless, but you got to realize the one you serve have all power in his hands. Remember sometime when you don't have, you can look back on the scripture that says God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. When you're feeling sick and think you need Jesus to step in, you could go to Isaiah where he said, by his stripes you were healed. And he was talking about your spiritual sickness, your spiritual sickness because of sin. But he also had proven over time that he does heal physical bodies as well. Come on, y'all. God is to be trusted. God is to be obeyed. God is worthy of praise, honor, and glory. And our background tonight is on the Holy Ghost. You see, a lot of times people express to me they don't understand who the Holy Ghost is, what the Holy Ghost is. You know, there are many misconceptions about the identity of the Holy Ghost. You know, there are many who view the Holy Ghost as a mythical myth, a mythical force, something just that's out there. But I want to tell you what the Bible says about the identity of the Holy Ghost. If I put it simple, the Bible declared that the Holy Spirit is God. So the Holy Spirit is God because it's God's Spirit. He is the third person of the Trinity, God as the Father, God as the Son, and God as the Holy Spirit. Now, I know everybody don't believe in a Trinity, and I know everybody can't understand the concept, which I don't have time tonight. It's another lesson, but that's what the Bible says. The fact that the Holy Spirit is God is clearly seen in many scriptures. We can also know that the Holy Spirit is God because he possessed the characteristics of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at the same time, which is an attribute of God. And he's omniscient, knowing all things like God, and he is also eternal. Come on, y'all. You know, many times people believe, and I thought this at one time too, that the Holy Spirit did not show up until the day of Pentecost. And we are taught that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't come and operate in his fullness until Jesus had went back to be with the Father. But if you look at the Old Testament, you will see the Holy Spirit, which he wasn't indwelling inside of the people of God, but he showed up whenever God wanted him to make something happen by the people of God. Even when in the book of Genesis, explaining the creation, they say the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. They were talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit was given to live inside of those who believe in order to produce God's character, his image, in the life of the believer in ways that we could not do on our own. So I want you to know that it's the Holy Ghost that's working in you to try to get you to be all that you can be, to get you to choose the right decision, trying to get you to use the Holy Bible as your moral compass. He's the one that's speaking to you, comforting you, leading and guiding you into all righteousness and truth. It's the Holy Ghost that reveals the truth of Christ to us, because we would never be able to know who God is unless it's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And then we have to thank the Holy Ghost and thank God our Father, because one of the functions of the Holy Ghost, he's our sealer. You see, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, the Holy Ghost came and sealed us until the day of redemption. He came in and he separated our flesh from our soul. And that's why we could say once saved, always saved, because when that separation happened and your soul was sealed, and the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation that no one could break the seal but Jesus Christ. So you are sealed, people, ladies and gentlemen, until a day of redemption. And I come to tell you tonight, you can't even unseal yourself. So you would say, well, this is a, you know, plenty who contradict the word of God, say that's a watered-down ministry. That's a watered-down scripture. That's, you know, the Bible is filled with watered-down. So you telling me that I could be saved and do anything I want, and the seal can't be broken? But I come to tell you tonight, if you truly saved, no, you won't be perfect, but you will have the desire to try to please your maker. You should have a desire to want to give God glory. You should have a desire to let your light so shine that men may see his good works and want some of him. Yes, you are sealed. Yes, Jesus took away the sins of the world, but the consequences for those sins belong to you. And the Bible teaches us when the spirit, the soul, was separated from the flesh, the soul became born again. And remember, not your flesh. Flesh is still doing everything that it always did, even in the life of the believers. But the only thing is, because we have this Holy Spirit living in us, it helps us to yield not until temptation. You see, the Bible talks about, there's a scripture that said there's nothing that can happen to man that is not common to man. And God always given a way to escape. There's no temptation, I'm sorry, that is not common unto man. And then it goes on to say that God will give you a way to escape, to bear it, talking about the temptation. So the difference is, when the Holy Ghost sealed your soul, your flesh still was actively doing what flesh does. But you have power in you. The Holy Spirit living in you. You have power to, like James 4:7 say, resist Satan and he has to flee. See, we got something that can help us because of our accepting of Christ, where other people who haven't accepted is walking around without that filter. Come on, y'all. Without that protection. And we should stand up for the bloodstained banner. We should hold it up until we die, because the Holy Ghost is living inside of you. You see, the Holy Ghost reveals to us that the Word of God is real. And Jesus, when he ascended back to be with his Father, He told his disciples everything that he would do if he still was here, that once he leave, the Holy Ghost would be able to do it. The Holy Ghost is real, y'all. The Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost want to be respected. And he doesn't like to be grieved by our disobedience. The Holy Ghost has a ministry. You see, God gave a summon that his desire that all sorts of men would be saved. And you know, we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And in him looking for us, he had the Holy Spirit there that was tugging on our heart and convicting our mind that we was a sinner in need of a Savior. Come on, y'all. And the Holy Ghost is constantly doing that, you know, in the lives of the unbelievers and actively working in our lives to get us to be matured. But you see, the only sin that cannot be forgiven and the impardonable, unpardonable sin that can never be forgiven, that can take you straight to hell, and all these other sins that people talking about will bring you to hell, it is very clear in the Bible that the only unpardonable sin in the Bible is blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. Some people can't understand it because not so long, me and my grandson had a discussion, and he was really frightened because he didn't know if he had blasphemed against the Holy Spirit with his actions in his life. And he thought that he had lost his salvation because he believed when the word of God say blaspheme, you know, it's not forgiven. So I had to take time and explain to him what that meant. I told him when a person blaspheme against the Holy Ghost is when the Holy Ghost is bringing you the invitation, personal invitation, for you to accept Christ as your Savior. And those people who never accept Christ, they never accepted the invitation. They haven't decided, they evidently decided that they don't need a Savior, or they don't need the Savior now, or they can save themselves. It could be whatever the reason. But they didn't accept the invitation from the Holy Ghost that was given to him by God. So because they never accepted the invitation, then that means they didn't accept Christ as their Savior. So that means they don't have a Savior. So then that means they must be going to save themselves, which we all know is impossible. So to sum that up, I could say there is no pardon for a person who died in unbelief. Rejection of the Holy Ghost prompting us to trust in Christ because of our need of a Savior, and they keep rejecting is blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And then you would say, well, Sister Diane, why you say they're going to go to hell? Because there is no forgiveness without acceptance. They never accept Christ. Christ ain't their Savior. How could or why would he take away their sins? They're not his. And so many people say, something told me don't do this, or something told me don't do that. Give respect and honor where it's due. It's not no something. It's someone, the person of the Holy Spirit. Give him what's doing. And that's our background on the Holy Spirit. And if we go into the scripture, Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, that is so beautiful. That is something that we can hold on to. Come on, y'all. Because the scripture that's written here is telling you, you could be confident that with the work that God has begun in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, that's how you can believe the scripture that says, God say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This scripture right here is telling us what God has begun in us, he's able to complete it, to perform it, to make it come to pass. That should give you some relief. You see, Paul is giving us encouragement that we can be confident that the work God began in our lives, once we accepted Jesus Christ for salvation, he will complete it. They didn't say you will complete it. You couldn't start it. You can't keep it going in the middle. And you can't do it on the end. He will complete it. The work that he's talking about is a process, and that's a process of sanctification. You see, we enter into this process of sanctification once we accept Christ as our Savior. You see, God's master plan way before the foundation of the world for the redemption of his people, oh yeah, he had the plan before the foundation, because he knew by being all-knowing that man would fail. So before the foundation of the world, he had a redemption plan for his people. And it would be accomplished by his work, not anything you could do. God's plan for our sanctification process, which began once we accepted Christ, until his return. That's what the scripture is saying. Many of us only think about salvation as something we receive once we die. You see, you got to know that salvation is a gift from God that guarantees our eternal life. Salvation means to be saved and set apart. Talking about right here and right now. Not over there. You right now in your daily life. You in your tomorrow. You in your next day. You in your year that passed. Salvation is always at work. But it also includes so many things. You see, salvation is what rescues us in time of trouble. Salvation, you know, that salvation, that's why the Bible says work out your own salvation. Hallelujah. You see, that salvation is also working, protecting us from danger seen and unseen. It's always renewing us when we can't see our way through. Salvation is what's doing restoration when we are empty. And restoration when we're empty and joy even in the midst of our storms. See, that's the act of salvation. We're being saved and set apart. Hallelujah. Salvation is rescuing us and is doing all of that. You see, and all of this could be accomplished through God who loved the world so much, because he have all power and he's in total control. And this is the way how the salvation process works. You see, he used him being Almighty God. He loved the world so much, and he had all power, and he had total control, God's part. And then you got to look at the work of his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, rose, taking away the sins of the world, his part, along with his spirit, the Holy Ghost, who's indwelled in us and is guiding us. You got to realize when you say we are being saved daily, that's with the process of sanctification. We are saved, and then we're being sanctified. That's why, you know, we can say, please be patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. Sanctification is linked to the salvation experience. Do you know that? It's the process that is extended to us for our moral and spiritual obligation. It is God's divine gift in that experience. God gave us a gift. You didn't work for it. The word sanctify means to be set apart and made holy. We should be more set aside and holy each day. So this telling you, when you first met Jesus, you didn't know it all. You didn't do it all. You still had some, God still had to work on us from the inside and circumcise our heart and control our mind better. You know, had to clean our hands up and order our footsteps. But we should be progressing day by day. And if you look back on the time when you got saved, however long time it was ago, and you're the same way that you were then, you not evidently cooperating with the Holy Ghost so that he could sanctify you, because it's the work of God. You just have to cooperate. And what I'm going to talk about tonight is the sanctification of the believers is in three realms. First realm, positional. Second realm, progressional. And ultimate, which is the final and complete. And it's going to happen at death or the rapture. So when we look at this, the first one is positional sanctification. What happens then? We are justified. You know, we needed to be justified because sin had separated us from God, and God couldn't dwell with sin, and all of this had to be done. So once Jesus came and paid the price and we accepted him, we became justified. And I want you to know that justification is a one-time work of God, resulting in the declaration of not guilty before him because of the work that Christ did on the cross. Y'all see how we became not guilty, but until then, we were guilty in sin? You see, justification is the starting point of the line that represents one's Christian life. It's the start of the line that represents one's Christian life. But you see, justification is the starting point, and sanctification is the line itself with an end. Hallelujah. You see, positional sanctification, what I'm talking about right now, is when you accepted Christ, you came in to a position to receive all that God has for you. God put you in position. Now, if we look back over our lives and look at what we're doing in our lives and what we're not doing and what we should be doing, you know, many times we get out of position. But it's amazing because, you see, positional is in the beginning. That's before we really understood. And they say, like, while we were yet sinners, Jesus came and took us in. So when you was a sinner and you accepted Christ and you got in position immediately to receive all that God has for you, all of his blessing, his loving kindness, his tender mercies, you were in position to receive it all. God had done his work from the beginning. But it's your job to understand it. You became an heir and a joint heir. You didn't have to be saved 50 years before you became an heir or a joint heir. Come on, y'all. Look how great God is. God didn't say, I'm going to wait 3 years to see what you're working with. God didn't put you on probation to see if he would give you a position. That's what happened when you accept Christ. You came into positional sanctification. That's what happened. And you received the Holy Ghost, who's going to work with you and help you and guide you on this journey, on this process of sanctification. God did that at the moment you believed. That's positional sanctification. And that's where justification took place. One time, once and for all, you got in position to have it all. What a wonderful God we serve. And you see, once that happened, we move into the second realm of the sanctification process. And that's in the second realm is progressive sanctification, or progressional sanctification. That is where spiritual maturity happens. It is accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life. It's an act of God so that the righteous man can live by faith and not by work. But however, it involves a choice. God made us free moral agents, and we're going to decide to serve him. How are we going to serve him? If we're going to serve him, if we're going to study the word, if we're going to go to church, if we're going to help the sick, if we're going to help the poor, if we're going to be kind to one another, if we're going to be forgiven. See, God did the first part. And God is in the second part. And he gave the Holy Spirit for us to accomplish it well. But this is where you have to do the work. You see, progressive sanctification is a journey of producing less and less of the acts of your sinful nature and more of the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost came to live inside you, he brought along the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, check it out. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, faith. He brought that in him, and he put it in you. It's your job to work them out. Can any of those virtues be seen in your life? Can you be recognized as someone that's forgiven? Can you be recognized as someone that's loving? The Holy Ghost brought it, but it can't be produced unless you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. See, in this process, we must actively do the work. This stage of sanctification, I'm talking about progressional now. It's a lifetime to complete. As we grow in grace, we are gradually but steadily changing to be more like Christ. This occurs in a process of our daily spiritual renewal. Paul claimed that he had not reached perfection in the scriptures, but Paul said, I press. See, he know he's in a progressional part of the sanctification when he wrote that. I'm not perfect. I have not reached all that I want to be, but he said, I'm pressing. When Paul was in jail, they asked him what he wanted, and he wanted his books so he could study more about Jesus. He said, but I press for the mark of the high call, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, this is where we should learn how to control our own body in a way that is holy and honorable. You know, this involves putting to death the misdeeds of the body, striving for holiness, and making every effort to supplement our faith. In this process, we are working out the dash of our lives. So you might say, Sister Diane, what you mean a dash? You see, when you were born, they had a date. Y'all know, I'm talking about like on a tombstone. You know, even when you did something that's great, you know, like people on their resume, they say, I worked here from 1960 to 1980. They put 1960 to 1980, and they put a dash in the middle. The dash is what tells things about you. You see, the dash, it's when you was born, it had a date. And then there's a dash. And it's followed by your date of death. So in a progressional sanctification process, it's where we write our story in the dash. The dash is what Jesus Christ will judge. And our goal should be to hear from him, servant, well done. He might say, when I was hungry, you fed me. Come on now. When I was outdoors, you took me in. Hallelujah. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you visit me. You helped take care of widows, and you looked after the orphans. He said you honored your mother and your father. Hallelujah. All that's in the dash. So in a dash is where he was telling the parable of the servants. He gave some five, some two, and one. And he said, I'm going away, and when I come back, I want you to be them work this. Hallelujah. In a dash. And when a master came back, the one had five, he got five more. You see, he had worked. The one who had two, he had two more. He had increase. The one who had one buried it. So Jesus took the one from the one and gave it to the one who had five. That's what happened in the dash. Living in your dash, it should be your goal that we go, when we go before the seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, that he will be able to say, my servant, well done. He said, let me tell you how you lived in your dash. And he want to tell us, because he say when he come back, his reward is going to be in his hand. And he'll be able to tell you, your living was not in vain. If we live in a selfish life in a dash, or we only have our focus on things of this world, which we know the Bible say in the book of Revelation that everything in this world is going to burn up with fervent heat. And that's why we could truly say only what we do for Christ will last. And only what we do for Christ is going to stay in that dash. And it's going to be able to be seen on the day of the judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ. So you could take an inventory of your dash up until your present. And because there's still blood running warm through your vein, you have an opportunity to maybe do something different or make a change. But if it don't worry you and you want to keep doing what you do, then you do what you do, but you got to realize you get what you got. And yes, you will still have that salvation, because we talked earlier, it's a gift. All of that is true. But wouldn't you want to be able to hear your Heavenly Father say, come on, my child, take your rest. Well done, servant. And the last process of this sanctification process is the ultimate, which is the complete. And this part is going to happen at death or the rapture. Whichever one come first. And at this part, they're going to be glorification. Hallelujah. The final step in the sanctification process is the ultimate glorification of the believer. It will be realized at our resurrection when Jesus Christ come back for his people. When the believers will be transformed into the likeness of Christ and presented to the Lord as holy. Hallelujah. The dwelling of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer is both the promise and the agency for this future glorification. It includes redemption of this body, inheritance undefiled and eternal, and delivered from the future wrath of God. The Holy Ghost sealed us with the promise at conversion. Now look at that. The Holy Ghost sealed us in the position, when we got in position. And that seal is still there until we get into the complete. You see, God has done and is doing everything necessary for us to live a spirit-filled life. We should grow in grace by faith through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is working in you and on you to achieve the fullness of life God has designed for his people to get us to his expected end. That's his goal. But we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive a life worth living. Trust the word of God. You should learn how to give him all of you. for all of him. It's just that simple. You give him a lot, you get a lot. If you out here giving him a little, doing it like you want to do, having it your own way, you know, being lazy about the things of God all the time and using all your time, your money, and your resources on everything else. He gave us all of these talents while we were in the progressive, for us in the progressive sanctification, that we could do these things. And as I close, knowing that the work that God has begun, the scripture let us know he's able to complete it until Jesus returns. And the reason for that is because God always finishes what he starts. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if there's anyone who would like to say anything or add anything to this, you can press your one button. Or if you want a prayer, give us a benediction. You know, if the Holy Ghost is telling you to say something, then you should say it. Caller, your number is 985-774. Your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. This is Diane. I just wanted to thank you for this lesson tonight. I was a lot like your grandson, but I did know I was saved, but just the wear and tear of everyday life will get you worrying and concerned and will start making you think a little negative at times, and you start worrying about that. But you just reconfirming it tonight was really delightful and really good for me to hear again, to, you know, and I think I need to start shining up my dash a little bit, you know.
Hey.
And make it a little bit better.
Hallelujah.
I just wanted to tell you hello and love you, and really, it was really, really good hearing the lesson tonight. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane McBride. And tell your boys I said hello and kiss them grandchildren for me.
I will. Same to your kids.
Thank you so much. Anyone else would like to say anything, you can press the one button on your phone. God is doing so much for us. And if no one has anything to say, anything to do, Sister Leary, if you're on the line and you want to lead us out, I would appreciate it greatly if you press the one button on your phone. And Sister Leary is going to a conference. She's sprucing up her dash, you know, in a progressional state. We are to learn and to study and do more things for God. But on tomorrow, she's going, I think, to Florida, but she could tell you about it, for a Christian conference. Sister Leary, your mic is open.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be leaving tomorrow for a women's conference in Panama City, Beach, Florida. And just looking for a good time in the Lord. We'll travel every year in September. Next year we'll be going to Boston. It's a blessing. But I'm going to close us out tonight with prayer. God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you because we recognize that we are your people. Oh, God, and we pray right now, Lord, for the whole household of faith. For the body of Christ. We realize that we are your purchased possession. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And we are thankful for you sending your son Jesus to redeem us back to the Father. We're thankful that you sent us the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, O God. And you said he shall be with us and he shall be in us. And we thank you for endowing us, because you said we will receive power. God, and you said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And we thank you, Lord God, for leading and guiding and directing us. We thank you for starting a good work in us, oh God, and we know that you're able to perform it until you come and get us again. God, we just thank you because your word declares that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God, sometimes you have to help us with our unbelief, oh God. And God, you said that if we want to increase in faith, faith coming by hearing and hearing the word of God. God, and we thank you, Lord, that our soul is prospering in you, oh God, that we're prospering in our soul. Because you said, beloved, above all, you would that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. So we thank you for our soul prospering, that we can be in good health. And God, we just thank you because you said you did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So I decree sound mind over the body of Christ this evening, oh God. God, I decree, Lord God, that we are above and not beneath. We the head and not the tail. We are the lenders and not the borrowers, because we just want to walk in your commandments, oh God. And your commandments are not grievous toward us, because you said your yoke is easy and your burdens are light. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for every believer that called in tonight, Lord God. Those that wanted to call in and couldn't call in. Those that are on the line, oh God. Those that are on the computers, oh God. We just thank you, oh God, for touching hearts right now. And we thank you for opening up our understanding, because you say with all our getting, get an understanding. So we thank you for understanding, oh God, the word. And it comes plain and simple, Lord, that Minister Diane comes with the simplicity of the gospel, not with enticing word of vain wisdom. God, we thank you, Lord God, for opening up her understanding that she can bring the word to us, Lord. And we just want to be more of Jesus and less of self. We realize that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people because we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And God, we just want to show forth the praises of you who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Because you truly deserve our worship. You deserve our praise. God, you deserve the glory and honor. And as I ask in time past and ask even now, because you truly are the Father and we are the clay. And we ask that you would just mold us and shape us into vessels unto honor, O God, that we would be meet for your use. And in everything that we do for you, Lord, we will give you the glory. God, we want to use what you gave us to use, oh God. If you gave us the words to open up our mouth and pray, we want to pray for you, Lord. Lord, if you gave us the desires, oh God, because you said you give us the desires of our heart. God, if you gave us an anointing that's to sing, we'll sing and give you the glory, oh God. No matter what you have endowed us with, we want to use it that you will get the glory. Oh, God, and we call it all done in Jesus' name. And, God, before I even say amen, I just want to pray for our prayer list this evening, oh, God, that you would touch every believer that's on it, oh, God. God, we thank you for moving on their behalf. We thank you, Lord God, for what you have done, what you will do, what you're doing at this present moment. God, I even lift up those that have lost loved ones through this month, through this week, oh, God, that you would bind up broken hearts and give peace to troubled minds. Because your word declares that you give peace, not as the world give it, but as you give it. So we speak peace over troubled minds this evening. God, we speak the word over lives this evening. God, because you said your word will go out and it will not return back void. It will accomplish everything it was set forth to do. So we speak in salvation on those that need salvation, Lord God. We speak in a deliverance on those that need a deliverance. We speak in healing on those that need healing. Miracles on those that need miracles. Because you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. And you said in your word that you heal all manner of sickness and disease, that not all sickness is unto death, but some you will raise up, that you will be, your name will be glorified. And it is because of what Jesus has done. And we bless your name, and we call it all done in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, oh
thank
God.
You.
You're so worthy.
Thank you so much, Miss Valeria. And I'm asking all of us to pray for Elyria and all of the people for the conference that's going out of town, that they receive traveling grace. And I ask that you pray that the Holy Ghost don't allow the word to return void, that they may receive all that God has in store for them as they seek to do his will. And that's our lesson for tonight. And God be with you until we meet again. And Sister Elyria, pray for me at the conference and tell the ladies that I'm going to do my best to get there next year. And if anybody else want to go, you know, I'm sure it could be arranged. But that's it for tonight, and it's my desire that each and every one of us will pray and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with all of that being said, I say good night to each and every one of you, and God be with you. And I pray that each and every one of you be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Good night.